Good morning, church. My name is Tamara Watson. My husband, Ben, and I are the Kid Life pastors. That's our elementary, first through fourth grade program here, over here on this side. Everybody, Kid Life, are you here? Yeah, this is exciting. We're a little bit louder than you guys, so you may hear us over here. But this morning, I have some kids up here that are just like Pastor Tanner was talking about, dependent on the Word. And you're going to be encouraged by what they have to share with you this morning. And so, first of all, this sweet little girl made a really big decision. You may have seen her picture up on the screen just a minute ago, because she got baptized a few weeks ago. And would you tell us, first of all, will you tell us your name?
Madeline.
This is Madeline. And what grade are you in?
Kindergarten.
She's in kindergarten, and precious as they come. Madeline, tell us about why did you want to get baptized? And is there anything else that you want to share with everybody here today?
Because I love God and I want to be with God.
Yes. Give it up for Madeline. All right, and this beauty has been having the Lord teach her a few things she was sharing with me earlier over the past few years. So, first of all, tell us your name and what grade are you in?
I'm Talon, and I'm in fifth grade.
All right, Talon. Tell us, what has the Lord been talking to you over these past couple years and teaching you that we can learn from you?
He taught me patience, because anytime you pray, prayers can come very quickly, and then sometimes it takes weeks, months, or years. Because one time I prayed for a dog, and it's been about 2 years since I've been praying, and about a couple of months ago I got one. And God has given me so much confidence to just be on the stage right now.
Yeah. Has anybody ever prayed for something for more than 2 years? Maybe thought God gave up on you? She's learning, and I love that. All right, this gorgeous lady right here, tell us your name and what grade are you in, sis?
I'm Kalia, and I'm in the sixth grade.
All right, Kalia, what has the Lord been showing you most recently?
He has brought me out of a time of sadness and doing stuff my way by one verse, which is Proverbs 3:5, which reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path." And I'm so glad that that verse stood so strongly on my heart, because if I wouldn't have had, if I've done stuff my way, then my life would have led to destruction. But whenever I do stuff God's way, it always comes out right.
All right. I hope that you all wrote that down, because those are words to live by right there. All right. And last but not least, the manly man up here. Can you tell us what is your name and what grade are you in?
My name is Noah Hale, and I am in seventh grade.
All right, Noah. Yeah, he serves in Kid Life, and so the Kid Lifers are giving him a little shout out over there. Noah, is there anything that God has done in your life or spoke to you recently that you want to share with us?
Yes. So a lot of people who are in school, college, whatever grade you're in, it doesn't matter, are being bullied sometimes, but all you have to know is that God is there protecting you, and you don't have to worry about what those other people say, because it's not true. And this is from the verse John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life."
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Noah. This is incredible. Man, these guys are hiding God's word in their heart so that they may not sin against him. And I'm so proud of them for all of the being brave and bold. This is not easy to be up here, y'all. All right, can you give it up for our kids today? Yes, so we are so thankful that this church, Pastor Rick, Pastor Michelle, they love the next generation and they believe in the next generation. They pray for them, they support them, and I'm so thankful that today we get to be in here with you guys. We may wrestle our papers a little bit, and we may drop our crayons, but I promise we're excited to be here with you. But our next speaker up is a young man named Matthew McNair, and I've just been watching him over the past couple years. He's a man of faith, he's a man of the word, and he's a man of integrity. And so I want you guys to give it up for Matthew as he brings the word.
Good morning, good morning. How y'all doing today? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Like Tamara said, I'm Matt McNair, and I'm from Conway, Arkansas. I lived here my whole life, and I go to Real Life. Come on, give it up for Real Life right now. Yeah. We love it here. It's awesome. Yeah, this morning, I just want to share a little bit of my testimony of what the Lord has done in my life and how he's changed my life by the word and by discerning the word and what it means, and also just share a little bit about some scriptures that he showed me. So I grew up in a Christian home with super strong, believing parents who loved the Lord and wanted me to be a Christian, who wanted me to live a Christ-like life. And whenever I was about 7, I accepted the Lord. That's whenever I decided that I wanted to be a Christian. And I lived for about 8 years seeking the Lord, seeking to be righteous, but with no purpose at all. And I wanted to be good just because I wanted others to think that I was good. I did it all out of pride just for myself. So whenever I was about 15, I had everything I could want. I was great at sports. I had a great relationships with my family. I had an awesome friend group. And I decided, man, I think it's time that I need to start dating. I started pursuing this girl, started talking to her, and I just fell head over heels, and I poured out my life to get this girl, right, to start dating her. I wanted to so badly. After a couple months of talking, I went up to her, and I was like, all right, hey, if you ever would want to go on a date, then, you know, would you go on a date with me, you know? I said a little bit better than that, more polished. But she still rejected me, so didn't work out. But in that moment, I realized, okay, I've given all of my life just to be with this one person, just to get this one thing, right? And what is that going to do for me? That's not going to fill me. I'm not going to have any fulfillment. That's not going to help me in any way. And so in that moment, that's whenever I kind of pivoted and started turning towards God, right? That's whenever I relied on God's word and realized that if I don't rely on his word for the rest of my life, I'm not going to have anything to stand on. I'm not going to have a faith. I'm not going to have confidence in anything that I do, right? And so this morning, I want to share some verses with you. Hebrews 5, 11 through 12 says, "About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers of God's word, you still need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." So a point I want to make here is that whenever we listen to God's word, we have to have maturity, right? And yes, there is a time to be an infant in his word, but there's also a time to grow up, right? There's also a time that we have to hear his word and discern it, right? We don't just go to church, sit there and say, man, that was a good sermon. I'm going to go home and feel good about myself, right? When you hear a good sermon, whenever you hear someone speak to your heart and you're convicted, that should challenge you to change your life and the way that you live. And I know that's hard to take for me, just an 18-year-old here on stage, right? But if I'm seeking the Lord, if I'm called to make disciples, then you are too. Every single Christian who's accepted the gospel, they are called to ministry. Not just the pastors, not just those who work in the church, but every person who has Christ in their heart, they have the call, they have the obligation to make disciples. It is not exclusive. It's not just something that only pastors do or only the people who work in the church. Each and every one of you has that obligation. Verses 13 and 14 says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." There is a time to be a child in the faith. When you accept God, there's a time to be a child, right? You need to drink the pure spiritual milk, as it says in 1 Peter 2, and that's okay. You have to grow up because you can't have real food whenever you're a baby. It doesn't work. Your body can't digest it, right? But once you grow up, once you go into the real world, once you get a hard job with a difficult boss, once you have kids that don't want to obey you, you have to grow up in your faith, right? You cannot still drink spiritual milk. You have to start chewing on the word of God. You start to have to mature to understand the word of God. When you hear the word of God, you discern it. You pray over it. You meditate on it, as it says in Psalm 1, right? You take the word of God into your heart. You think about it and you listen. Right. Because if you don't let the Lord discern the word of God for you, if the Bible doesn't dwell in your heart and that is what you're standing on, you will not have strength in this world. No matter what you try to do, I've tried everything, right? I've tried in pride to be as good as I can, right? But without God, without God's word, without that being my foundation, I can't stand on anything. Psalm 119, verse 147 says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. And what I hope for this church, as y'all see the next generation speak to y'all, give y'all messages and worship this morning, I hope that y'all see that the desire we have for God is the same desire that you can have and that I believe you will have, right? In this church, everyone has an opportunity to read God's word and to know it, right? We all should have that desire every single morning, waking up to read God's word. There's no excuse that you can make. If you stay asleep, wake up 10 minutes earlier. If you say, okay, no, I have a job, I got to get to that, I got to go to school, something like that, there is no excuse for having the word of God, the thing that created you and put you on this earth that is breathing life into you right now, to not know him and to discern what he wants to say to you and what he wants to do in your life. That is your duty, that is your job, and I implore you and I encourage you that Christ wants you to do that today. There are people in this church who want you to know the word of God. There are life groups you can join. There are leaders that want to teach you. There are leaders that want to be with you, right? There is discipleship for you, for each and every one of you in here. No matter your age, there's people older than you, right? Even some of y'all. And they want to teach you the word of God. There is an opportunity to know his word and to find the truth.
I mean, wow. That was amazing. Matt. Thank you. Thank you for embodying that 1 Timothy 4:12 example. All right. We love you.
You've never taught that good.
Hey, I was about to say, I'll be transparent. That was better than I've ever done.
Me too.
Way to go, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Hey, the next person, man, how many of you are thankful for what God has done in our life? God is, come on, that's a great place to give God praise. So my wife and I get to pastor Elevation, and our next speaker is one of our leaders. We are very proud of her, what she's walking into. She's going to tell you more about where she's at in her life, but she's done so much. She's committed her life to all that God wants to do, not only around her, but in her life. So I want you to give a warm welcome and a round of applause to Mallory White, everybody.
Let's go, Mallory.
Hey, everyone. As Free said, my name is Mallory. I am a UCA nursing student. Go Bears. And I also lead a life group in Elevation. We're actually hanging out tonight at 7. Y'all should come. There'll probably be food there, to my knowledge. Free food. So I just get the honor of sharing a little bit of my story and what the Lord has done with my mental health. And I'm just so blessed to be up here. So ever since I was about 13 years old, I have been plagued with constant anxiety. From the moment I wake up, go to school, go to sleep, my dreams, I was just a really anxious person, from having panic attacks, couldn't go places if I was going to be late. It was really bad. And as of lately, since I was about 18 or 19, I was diagnosed with depression. I was really, really hopeless. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. It took everything in me to do the smallest tasks. And I was just living my life that way because I, through all of this, I knew the Lord and I knew what he had for me. And it was all in my head. I could spit off scientific facts about God like that, archaeological evidence about the Bible. But I was borrowing what the Lord's love felt like from everybody else around me and using that as what I thought the Lord felt like. But in reality, I wasn't feeling anything. I was so numb to everything. These past few semesters of college, I've been doing the internship program here at the church, which is incredible. If you ever need a place to find community and serve, it's amazing. And we went over to the Watson's house a few weeks ago, and it was my first day of nursing school. I was exhausted, but I showed up, and they were speaking on how to hear from the Lord, and man, I was frustrated. That's not something I'm very good at, and I have never prided myself on that. So towards the end of the meeting, they were praying over us and commissioning us out to go. And Tamara got a word from the Lord, and he said that he wanted to heal someone's mental health. And I was like, nah, that's not me. You know, I don't want to wake up every day, but I've got it under control. This is my life. I've done this for 20 years. What else could there be for me? I'm managing. But I swallowed my anxiety and my fear of talking to her, and I went up and I said, I think it's for me. And she said, I know it's for you, but the Lord wanted you to find that out on your own. And I was like, okay. I don't know what to do with that, but okay. And so I start telling her a little bit of my story and the hurts that I've experienced throughout life. And she just asked if she could have everyone pray over me. And I was like, no. I don't like being the center of attention. I thought people were going to think I was being a burden to them, and I didn't want people to worry about me. But people prayed over me, and about 30 minutes into prayer, we kind of come to this really hard pause. And they look at me, and they're like, well, do you have a relationship with the Lord? And I'm like, well, yeah, I lead a life group. Obviously, I have a relationship with the Lord. I've been going to church since I was six. I know God. And they were like, no, like, I know you know God, but do you believe that he loves you and he chooses you? And I was like, no, I don't. And they asked me a really hard question. They said, well, do you want one? And I sat there for about 5 minutes, and there was everything in me telling, like, wanting to say no. I couldn't say yes, because if I've been living my life for 20 years in the church, being involved, and nothing has been working, what else is there? I'm miserable. I don't want to wake up. I want to sleep forever because I have no energy to even just step out of bed in the mornings, let alone go to school, lead a life group, spend time with friends. I had nothing else. And they just encouraged me. They said, can you just pray in this moment and find, like, the Lord? And I was like, okay. So in that moment, I really prayed. I said, God, if you're going to show up, now's the time because I'm about to give up. And I was so nervous that afterwards I was going to have to pretend to be okay because there was still nothing else left for me and go about my miserable life not wanting to be awake anymore. So I prayed and I was like, God, if you're going to show up right now because I can't do it anymore. And he took me back to memories I had as a kid where I thought he abandoned me, he hated me, he didn't want anything to do with me, and he showed me where he was in all of those. And I'm not going to, and in that moment, he kept repeating over and over to me, either way, you are my daughter with whom I am well pleased. Meaning if I chose to follow him or not, he loved me and he wanted me there. No matter how depressed I was, no matter how anxious I was or how many panic attacks I've had that day and how far I had run from him, he didn't care. He just wanted me to sit at his side and let him do all the work for me, and I wasn't doing that. And it was in that moment I truly felt what the Lord's love felt like. I knew he wanted me, and I knew he loved me, and he chose me, and he picked me to be in this place at this time and talking to all of you. And that's not something I would have ever done. And I'm not going to stand up here and say my life is all rainbows and sunshine and everything's happy now, because it's not. And it's probably never going to be that way, but that's not what the Lord promises us. He never promises us that life's going to be easy. It's not. And there are days where I wake up and I want to stay in bed for the next 48 hours, not do anything, not eat anything, because life is hard and depression is hard. But the Lord has redeemed me, and I know that my heart is, he has my heart. And that's enough. And I know there are other people out there like me. I've lived this way for 20 years, and I don't want you to have to wait that long to know that the Lord loves you, and he chooses you, and he wants you here. You're not alone. There's no shame in struggling with depression, anxiety, OCD, nothing. There's no shame in that. You are human. We are who we are. The Lord made us this way. And I just know that the Lord has something for you, and he wants a relationship with you if you'll just let him do it. He loves you and he picks you, and you're enough.